means to be in God's word, to be in his prayer, and to be united in the faith, which is what we get to do as a body of believers. So look forward to having him share that with you again this morning.
Our scripture for today is from Acts chapter 2, very succinct description of the early church. Hear the word of the Lord. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Living boldly for all to see. It was a young man's first time to be an acolyte. And we helped him with a robe and a pep talk. And the elder lit his candle lighter. And the nervous acolyte said this: "It's all right if I make a mistake because I'm in church." You know? How right that is. How true that is. I mean, if there was ever a place where you were confident that your sins would be forgiven, your mistakes covered up, it would be in church, right? At least that's the way it should be. Today's lesson describes what the first church was like. As it's described, it sounds to me as absolutely wonderful, wonderful, overflowing with love and kindness, but also kind of accountability for each other, caring for each other. Whenever I read this scripture, I think, how can Grace Lutheran become more like the early church? What makes for a healthy church today? More specifically, for Grace Lutheran and for you who are here right now, and I include myself in this question, are we being the church that God wants us to be? Are we doing the kinds of things that God would have us do? Are we acting like those early Christians? You know, if God sent one of his angels to grade us, how would we fare? I don't know. Before I go there, let's look at the elements that made the early church so exciting and so explosive. Number one, they devoted themselves to the Word of God, the apostles' teaching. I can give a personal testimony here about reading the Word of God. Because every day I read the Word of God, it makes changes in me. Sometimes little changes, mainly little changes, but sometimes big changes. Every time I read the Word of God. Now those changes wear off. They fade away. But here's the thing, because I'm reading the Word of God every day, they happen over and over and over again. You can tell when people are reading God's word. I can tell it. There is a conviction, an excitement, an alertness that runs through their lives, and they talk about it, and they ask questions about it to one another. As I was preaching this in the first two services, a couple of people came up to me and said, "You know, that's really true." One lady said, "I've been reading Romans, and oh my goodness, I could hardly put it down. I had never," she said, "I had read this before, but it was like saying new things to me." And I think that's what happens when you read the Word of God. Now think of this. Put these people together who are enthusiastically and sometimes maybe not, but reading the Word of God, people devoted to the Word of God, put them together, and what are you going to have? Dynamite! That's what you're going to have. You're going to have a church that is very compelling and explosive. The Spirit flows from the Word of God into their lives, guiding them, empowering them, giving them courage, joy, peace, conviction. And you put people together who have conviction, and things are going to happen. The breaking of bread can refer to the Lord's Supper, even though it happened in their homes. And that's another way the Word and the Spirit enter our life. People devoted to the Word of God and having it in their lives never can be described as apathetic, never can be described as indifferent or unmoved. No, just the opposite. They're alive in Christ, and He's moving in their life. The second thing the early church had, second element, was an awe of the signs and wonders that the apostles were doing. You know, if you read the book of Acts, they did some amazing things. And some people might say today, well, where are the signs and wonders today? Well, just like Jesus said, you're not going to see me in the flesh any longer, but I'm here and you'll see me through the eyes of faith. I think people who have faith and devotion to the Lord, their eyes are open. And things, signs and wonders are really happening today, miraculous things, in answer to our prayers. And we see them. What other people call, well, wasn't that a fortunate circumstance? We know that's not so. We know it was an answer to prayer. Haven't you seen some of those things? I'd say start praying for some of those things. And God will allow you to see it. This handiwork. The third element in the early church was that they had a deep care for each other. They had a great fellowship with one another. Dr. Lloyd J. Ogilvie, in his commentary on this book of Acts and these passages, he wondered and pondered how a spirit of unity could happen with such a disparate group of people in that upper room at that time. So there were rich people and poor people. By the way, do they usually hang out together? No, they don't. There were women. There were people who were brought out of unclean lifestyles. There was one disciple, Thomas, who doubted the Lord. Peter denied the Lord. James and John were always angling to have favor and be designated as leading disciples over the other disciples. So there was fractures even among the disciples. And maybe Nicodemus was there, that Pharisee asked Jesus about being born again. Under any normal circumstances, people coming from these walks of life would never meet, much less hang out together. And yet, that's exactly what the early church was like. Now, so how did they overlook all these obvious differences? What inspired them to come together in one accord? By the way, that's why I always buy a Honda. Okay. All right. Old, terrible joke. All right. It could only be their shared love for Jesus that brought these people together out of such disparity in their lives. I've always liked this definition of fellowship. It's an old one. It's two fellows on the same ship, and they're going in the same direction. But what really makes this definition good is not only these two fellows on the same ship going in the same direction, but it's the quality of their relationship, the quality of relationship, of interaction, of having each other's back, of thinking well of each other. That is fellowship. Fellowship. By now, maybe you've figured out where I'm going with this message. I want to be a part of a church that looks like the early church. You know, I can lead, and I will lead to the best of my ability. People have to follow. But I will never stop wanting, and I will never stop challenging or being enthusiastic for you to join me under the power of the Spirit to become more and more and more like the early church. That I'm committed to. Somebody just gave an amen. Now, here's how that can happen. This is the way I envision it happening. Right? And by the way, it has nothing to do with numbers of people. It has to do with what's in the people themselves, whether they be small number or big number. Number one, we can put away all our excuses and make it a priority to read a portion of God's Word every day. A lot of you have challenged, and a lot of you have taken the challenge to read the New Testament. But let God speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit start guiding your life. When you read God's Word, and it doesn't have to be a large portion, God has a message for you. It's no accident when you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's guiding you to do that, and then He's guiding you and speaking to you. Now, Scripture has one meaning, one truth, but it has many applications. So you may read a portion of the Scripture, and the Spirit is speaking to you and saying, no, don't make that decision, make this decision. And it may be seemingly unrelated context, a parable or something that you're reading. And yet you hear the Spirit speaking to you. The Bible has always been a point of reference for Christians. We can't listen to the apostles teach us in the flesh, but we can read their testimony and their words inspired by God Himself. And as we listen, we will be touched by the love of Jesus and the guiding whispers of the Holy Spirit. We will. I know many of you can and tell me that you've had that experience where you've read part of the Scripture for that day or something like that. And do it every day. And watch. Watch what happens. Watch how the Lord guides your life. Another way we can become like the early church, and it says this in the Scriptures elsewhere, the early church was fervent in prayer. Fervent in prayer. Throughout the Bible, God tells us the truth about prayer, as in Psalm 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Think of that. Can you go a day without prayer? How about, those of you who are married, can you go a day without speaking to your spouse? What does that do to your relationship? Not good, right? Not good. But probably the even more important relationship is with your Heavenly Father. And unlike your spouse, the Heavenly Father can make things happen and has promised to, right? You know, some of you spouses can make things happen too, I suppose. But no. The slogans I'm going to give you right now are pretty simplistic, but I think they're true. Much prayer equals much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. No power. Prayer is opening ourselves up to the purposes of God. It is acknowledging that God makes things happen, that He is over all. What a great way to begin your day. To say, God, I want You in my life today. I want You to give me wisdom. I want You to give me a spirit of courage and conviction. I want to know how You want me to react to these things, how You want me to do it. You watch, God will answer those prayers. He'll speak to you through His Word, and He'll answer those prayers because He's promised to. He's promised to. Listen, I need your prayers to lead this church. I really do. Frankly, I would want every one of you, if you would be so inclined, to pray for me. Pray that I would have courage. Pray that I would have wisdom. Really pray that I would have energy, one of my concerns right now. Pray that I would have a rock-solid faithfulness to the Lord and that I would always be convicted. If you pray for me like that, I'll be a better pastor. But here's the thing. I'm praying for all of you to have those very same things too. I'm praying for you to have a strength in the Lord, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have that faithfulness that you won't turn away. There are many temptations out there, I know. So, reading the Word of God, fervent in prayer, and the third thing, we can be more like the early church if we maintain our harmony. This is no small thing. This is an important point. Grace is made up of all kinds of people. We have different backgrounds. We have different tastes, that's for sure. You know, early on when I got here, and I wanted to have a contemporary service along with the other services, right? We have a lot of dispute about that. Some of you were here, but, you know, a lot of dispute about that. Is this really, does God really like it? You know? Well, if you read the Old Testament, you see there's all kinds of instruments, harps, lies, you know. Okay. Anyway, there was some disharmony, but that did not serve God. That did not serve His church. And we do all things properly in this service as they do in the other two services. Some of you would not really like the first service. That's okay. There are people who do. We have different tastes. We have different tastes. We have different economic status. You know? And we have many other variations. But here's the bedrock belief that I have. Everyone who belongs to Christ belongs to everyone else who belongs to Christ. Isn't that good? Everyone who belongs to Christ belongs to everyone else who belongs to Christ. In other words, we're one in the same. And we can have harmony because of Jesus Christ. We're part of God's family. You know, often things that divide people are not chief doctrines, not chief beliefs, but they're really inconsequential things. Neither forbidden or commanded. Neither forbidden or commanded. We can love one another, not only in spite of our difference, but appreciating our differences and respecting them and other people. Because Jesus commanded us to love one another, and He gives us that Spirit to empower us to do that. You know, there may be people in our church that you wouldn't really like to sit by. You know what God commands you to do? To love them. Right. Look on everybody with favor. Everybody with favor. This is God's will. Do you know that God commands us not to quarrel? Not to fight with each other? Satan's right there. He wants a foothold. He wants you to be irritated or in a dispute with a fellow member. And that does not do the work of God. Now, we can have differences, and we can talk about those differences. But God doesn't want us to quarrel. And He doesn't want us to gossip about each other and be divided from each other. He doesn't. You know, when I was a pastor in Alabama, where we lived, our home, there was a church right behind us. And I won't tell you what kind of church it was. But when they had a meeting, oh, my goodness, the whole neighborhood heard how they fought. And they were loud. I mean, really loud. I was really shocked about that. I mean, I've been in church meetings before that were loud, but we have buildings that hold in the sound. And you know what they were always fighting about? Their pastor. And their pastors were always leaving in about 3 years. You know, I would see they had a parsonage, a house, and you'd always see the moving, and they made him move himself. You know? Yeah. fighting. You know, it made me think, there's got to be a better way. They're not obeying the Lord in this. Because God wants us to be harmonious. Now, we have harmony here at Grace Lutheran. We do. But we better be careful. We better be vigilant to maintain it. Because I'll tell you what, Satan wants nothing more than to separate us. He wants, first of all, to separate you from coming to church. Then he wants to separate the people that do come to church and say, I didn't like that music, or I didn't like that pastor's sermon, or, I didn't like this and I didn't like that. There's a lot of things not to like. In every one of our services, you can find things, oh, that organist, or this, or that, music is a big one that everybody complains about, and not preaching, usually. Oh, yeah, they do. If you preach too long, Pastor, my goodness. I remember early on in my days at Grace, I preached a little longer. We can't too much now because of the way our services are, And I had a guy come up to me, and he went like this. Do you know you preach 35 minutes? That's just a little longer than a sitcom. Right? He was upset with me. And I just said, oh, yeah, I didn't know. I got carried away, didn't I? Right, yeah. I wish you would get carried away, right? Harmony is something that a church generally overlooks lots of times because we're convicted and we're right and you're wrong, But it can't be that way. Not the way the Lord wants it. And that means looking and putting the best construction on your fellow members. Look at them and think, I like them. Let it be that way. Finally, number four, and most importantly, if we're going to be like the early church, we must have a passion for Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the cross for your sins, of which you have many. He went there and died for your sins and paid the price for them. It's finished. It's finished. And he rose in order for you to be put right with God. We call that justification. So he went to the cross. Now, it's not how moral you are, because never does anyone reach where they should be. We all fall short, and very much fall short. If you could have been good on your own and please God, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come. But he did have to come. And he did pay the price for your sins so that you could be continuously forgiven of your sins and put right with God once again. So if we're going to be like the early church, we have to have a passion for Jesus Christ. And not only that, but a passion for others to come to know Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who are in the dark, who are confused. They really don't know what life is about. They don't have a purpose. God has put us and put in our hearts this love for him and an understanding of where life's going. And where is life going? Just where God wants it to go. He wants all people to be reconciled to himself. The purpose of our life is to be reconciled with God and to serve him and serve others. That is their purpose. During a tour of France, the German poet Heinrich Heine and his friend visited a cathedral, and I looked this up in French because I don't know French. It looks to me like Amiens, but thank you, Google, it's Amiens, the Cathedral of Amiens. As they stood in admiration before the church, the friend said, "Tell me, Heinrich, why can't we build a cathedral like this anymore?" And the poet replied, "Friend, in those days, people had convictions. We moderns have opinions. It'll take a lot more than opinions to build a Gothic cathedral. You put people together, with a shared passion and a shared purpose in life in one church, and momentous things are going to happen. Absolutely, things are going to happen. Shared passion. Shared purpose. Watch out. So how do we become more like the early church? One, devote ourselves to the Word of God. Two, fervent prayer. Three, we become part of what is a harmonious church. And four, we have a passion for Jesus Christ and a passion for people to come to know Him. By the way, that's the slogan of our church. Connect people to Jesus Christ. Grow them up in the faith and serve God by serving other people and Him.